We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Yeah, there's so many answers. Songs, I mean, movies, dances, me versus Fritz, things in life that are silly but fun. And yes, Raining Men is one. Yeah. Jody, what would be the equivalent the other way for guys that are digging chicks? Like, what would be the, instead of Raining Men, would it be like California Girls? Isn't that the name of that song, California Girls?
Yeah, well, the Katy Perry song you're talking about?
No, what's the David Lee Roth? What's that I'm trying to think of?
I don't know. The Katy Perry one is the California Girls. This is the most recent one, at least. There might be two, but
don't
Katy
you know what
Perry
I'm talking
one
about?
With Snoop Dogg.
Yeah,
what's
there's
the one
something.
Where, what's the one where David Lee Roth is doing the, well, maybe not California, it's girls from the South and the North and...
I think you're right. It's California, but it's not called California Girls.
No, California Girls. I just looked it up. David Lee Roth, California Girls.
That would be like the retort to It's Raining Men.
Not
the
as good.
The East Coast Girls, there's this.
Yes.
Isn't that the Beach Boys?
Oh, I think he did.
Well, both did it.
He
okay,
did
but
a
it was the Beach Boys
it.
Originally.
Yeah, for sure. Correct.
Yeah. That's California Girls.
Yeah. Right. Beach Boys and David Lee Roth.
And David Lee's, sorry to all Beach Boy fans, his version was better.
I agree with you.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Oh, I thought his version was phenomenal. Yeah, exactly. All right, so good morning to you. Not such a... no, I feel fine, but I'm disappointed I didn't do better. I'm disappointed I didn't give you a better show yesterday for those that showed up to the competition.
Can I ask you a question, brother?
Please. And by the way, this is a press conference. You can...
Okay,
Jody,
good.
James, Rhea, and the audience, you can ask any question you want from yesterday.
I am glad to hear that.
Yes.
So I told you, I sat in the dugout, stayed out of the sun because it was a little hot.
Sure.
Don't know if I could actually see the heat coming off the turf like Jack said was the overstatement, but that's all right because he was very good yesterday. I went behind home plate to be able to watch. That's what I've done my entire life. My father's a scout.
Sure.
He's got to be able to see the pitches, and I didn't think Jack was going to be throwing a breaking stuff that was going to break a foot and a half, but I just wanted to more or less second-guess the ump.
Yep.
And, oh, by the way, he missed the second pitch. But you did a good job. You put the ball in play. You didn't just go up there looking for a walk.
Right.
You hit... three soft grounders to third base, but you put the ball in play, and I was proud of you for that. But you're down 6-0.
Yep.
So you figure you can play a little mind games, and you jump in left-handed.
Yep.
Now you hadn't exactly mashed the ball right-handed.
Yep.
So I had my doubts about you going left-handed, but I even understood it for just psychological sake.
So it was three different things. I'll address it. There were three different reasons why I went lefty. So. One was righty wasn't working. I mean, let's just start with that. I mean, so it was the let's try something different. Okay, let's start with that. I mean, look, you can say I was equally bad with both. I don't know if that's true. You can say I was worse with right. Righty, I was 0 for 6. Lefty, I was 0 for 2.
Yeah, you were worse lefty, though.
So, okay,
were worse lefty.
So I know I can hit lefty. Like, I'm telling you, this wasn't like a fluke, like, I'll just give this a shot. Like, I feel confident I can hit lefty like I can hit righty. Less power. But put the ball in play is how I feel with me lefty. So number one was try something different. Number two is I do believe I can hit lefty. Number three, and this was the part no one would think about, but me and my coach were on this. We knew when he was off the plate in the first six at-bats, he was generally off away. When I was batting right, he was going outside.
Mm-hmm.
And so we thought we might be able to buy one or two hit batsmen. If his ball was
you
tailing.
You almost did, but you got out of the way.
Correct.
You had a chance to win.
It's because the ball was coming at my ribs.
Yeah.
So, but that was the theory. The theory was we made... So, Jody, like, this wasn't some, like, oh, I'll just try some fluky thing. Like, I actually think I can hit lefty, and I thought I could buy one or two hit batsmen. So that was why I did it.
Fair enough. Not evidenced by your two at-bats that you can hit left-handed, but...
Jack said that that's when he knew you were done.
I know, and James, I knew they would give him confidence, but I was okay with that. I knew it would make him more confident. That didn't bother me at all. By the way, here's
where it did bother me.
Yeah.
All right, now you're telling us you actually believed you could hit left-handed. I didn't know that going in. I'll take it with a grain of salt.
Sure.
After you go down on strikes, you got to jump back over to the right-hand
side. I thought about it.
Now, you're down 7-0, so you got to get three straight reaches just to get a tie. So I'll grant that it was a long shot at best, but you got to take your best shot, and your best shot was getting back in there right-handed.
I don't know about that. Let's listen to how it ended yesterday. Not like play-by-play, but what Jack and Ike and Spike were saying. Overall reaction at the end, what went down.
Strikes out swinging the third one. Fritzy pumps the fist, Tiger style.
Yeah.
8-0, 8 up, 8 down, 30 pitches, 22 strikes in front of hundreds of admirers. Everybody goes home happy knowing that we are even. And Jackie Baseball, I believe this competition is once again in your, like, you are in the driver's seat in this competition, and you must feel that way.
Yeah, no, I definitely feel that way, and it was probably the biggest crowd I've ever thrown in front of.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like it was. That was a lot of people there today. But you know, I was glad it was 8-0. I didn't want to leave any doubt. He put a couple balls in play. I was happy to put a couple of balls in play.
Yep.
But I think everyone there today knew that it was only going to go one way if I didn't have a fastball that I could throw for a strike and that board out. So I'm very happy, but again, it's only one.
Well, it is
job's
only one.
Job's not finished.
Job's not finished. That's what Kobe said.
It's not even close to finished.
Not even close. I channeled my inner Jalen, you know? I really did.
Well done by Fritz. Look, he brought it. He played well. He played great. He pitched great, and he pumped a lot of strikes in there. Let's go to the phones. Corey in Pottstown right now. Good morning, Corey.
Joe, it was so good to see all you guys out there yesterday. I was the man that Ike and Spike thought was going to be doing some shenanigans with my speaker out there yesterday.
Oh, I appreciate that, Corey. I didn't know who it was. I heard it. I appreciate you, Corey.
I was just out there to have fun with everybody, bro. That's all it was. I don't want nobody to take that the wrong way.
Nah, it's all good. Everybody was so well behaved and cool, man. It was great.
Yeah, I actually thought that you kind of taken the going left-handed a little bit earlier. I thought after the umpire kind of gave him that second strike, which you would have been 2-0.
No, it would have been 1-1. Oh, you mean
it would have been 1-1?
No, you know, honey, you're talking about in the lefty at bat.
No. I mean, when you were just second at bat, he gave you the ball,
okay,
and then the second pitch, the umpire called that outside pitch a strike.
Okay,
that made it 1-1. If you were 2-0, I think you might have taken a couple more pitches before you needed to swing. But
well, I would have. I can tell you this: if it was 2-0, and I don't believe we had a 2-0 count. We had some 1-0s, not many. If it was 2-0, I definitely would not have swung. I mean, that was...
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I will say this. It was a great environment, and I'm going to tell you about the environment that gives you my silly but fun answer.
Sure.
It's not to the limit, but I think from the beginning of Wing Bowl, that felt like Wing Bowl to me yesterday.
Sure.
And anything in the history of Philadelphia was silly but fun. It was Wing Bowl.
That's a really big answer, Corey. Yes. Wing Bowl is a huge answer.
And you had way more people than I believe the first iteration of Wing Bowl.
Well, that's cool. That's nice to know.
I doubt this has the same potential for the annual. I think Jack versus Joe round 20 probably wouldn't be
but you never know what it can turn into. You know, you never know. Now, Corey, that's good stuff, man. Wing Bowl's a big answer, and it was wonderful to have your support out there yesterday, man. I appreciate it. Yeah, I didn't think it was crazy talk when I said California girls. I was surprised you three didn't.
Well, I think of the Beatles. Beach Boys. Yeah. I didn't even know David Lee Roth did it.
But the
really?
Beach Boys
you didn't
is
know
called
David
California.
Lee did a cover
but,
of that?
But,
yeah, but you threw me off with David Lee Roth. So, I mean, the Katy Perry one's really famous, too. It's with Snoop Dogg.
Right.
Yeah, it's really famous.
But that's
and
not...
way, way, way more recent and relevant than the Beach Boys one.
Yeah, I guess.
I just didn't know David Lee Roth did it. So when you were saying the David Lee Roth thing, it just totally threw me in the wrong direction.
So you couldn't find a David Lee Roth cover to play
is,
here?
This is it, Joe.
Playing it right now.
Come on,
this sounds like the Beach Boys.
Come on, Jody. What are you pulling at me yet from yesterday? Get
this
it together.
Does not sound like the Beach Boys.
That was a typical Joe DeCamera response.
Yeah, I'm going to get back on track, Rhea. No, I'm yelling at him because he's doing nonsense. I do nonsense. We all do nonsense, which, by the way, is why we have life advice. The key with life advice is there's some nonsensical situation going on, and you gotta climb your way out of it. You gotta figure it out. Well, I'm gonna help you figure it out. Life advice with the hammer coming up later in the show. What are you dealing with in life that you need some help with? Facebook, Twitter, and the text line, three ways you can interact with the show. There's another way. YouTube. You can watch our show on YouTube. You can see me with my head hung. Head is hanging. In shame from yesterday. So those on YouTube saw my head literally hanging. Check out our show on YouTube. If you get a chance, live or later in the day, you can go back and watch it. And you can also comment. Questions and comments we enjoy from YouTube. So get them in. And,
Joe,
and
I have a comment from your Twitter poll. Very first comment.
Yes.
Who is most likely to start a playoff game this year for the Phillies? You gave them three choices.
Yes.
Lizardo, Nola, Painter. The very first reply was Jack Fritz.
Yeah, I kind of did, too. Yeah. I kind of did, too. All right, well, I certainly hope it's Lizardo instead of Fritz. But, hey, Fritz has put his he's thrown his hat in the ring, to use, I think, a Teddy Roosevelt phrase, if I remember right. Let's listen to Lizardo. You know, Lizardo pitched great yesterday. And I heard a stat, Jody, before the game. Lizardo gave up more runs in the three games in which he got hit really hard than the other, I think it was 13 games combined.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
Well,
more run in three games than 13 games.
It was 12 and 8 were the back-to-back games.
Right.
So that's 20 runs in two games, which was a grand total of, well, see, the first game they left him in too long. Second
Clearly.
Game they got him out pretty quickly, but not before he gave up 8 runs. So giving up 20 runs in two games is going to run your ERA real fast.
And then the other one, I forget exactly, but maybe it was 5 runs or something like that. And then otherwise, he's been great. So Lizardo did a really nice job yesterday, and let's give him some credit on it.
The windup and the 1-2. Swung on, popped in the air, shallow right. Stott is going out. He'll make the catch. And 7 really strong innings today for Jesus Luzardo. Phillies staring at the possibility of a sweep, but the left-hander was terrific all afternoon.
Two things really important from yesterday's Phillies game. One, getting Luzardo, you hope, on track. Two, getting Bryce, you hope, on track. I mean, let's be real. I mean, they're supposed to be two of the better players on the team. Bryce is supposed to be the best player on the team. So, big day by both of them. Let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day, brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin is proudly celebrating 25 years of serving the automotive needs of the Delaware Valley. Together, let's drive. ArminChevy.com. Seltzer, what's the answer to it? Who is most likely to start a playoff game this year for the Phils? If Wheeler, Ranger, and Sanchez get 1, 2, 3 in whatever order, who's most likely to get 4? Lizardo, Nola, Painter?
Nola.
And is that because of veteran or because Lizardo will be better out of the pen or what?
Both.
Yeah, I tend to agree. We'll see where it goes. The second poll question, did Fritz throwing such a high percentage of strikes yesterday surprise you? Yes or no, 215-592-9494. Jody Mack, what were you about to say there, my man?
I was going to say what's impressed me about Lizardo. The whole game kind of hung in the balance in the second inning. Phillies got a run. He got the first out. And then they got two straight guys on base. Flores singled and Schmidt walked. And I'm like, uh-oh, this is the last two nights all over again. Yeah. Here it comes. He's going to throw a wild pitch or something's going to happen. The ball's going to bounce off the wall. It just felt like a bad karma series in San Francisco. He whiffs the next two guys badly. And then just got on a roll. I think he retired 11 out of the next 12, something like that. I was worried in the second inning. But, man, he showed out yesterday. He had a really good outing. It's one thing to be not as bad as he was, and then there was one to be dominating. He was Wheeler-like yesterday.
Yeah, he did a great job. He really did. Not as well as Jack Fritz did, but he did a great job. All right, 215-592-9494. If you're just waking up and tuning into our show, I got my butt kicked by Fritz yesterday. Congrats to Jack. He did a wonderful job. It could have gone as many as 10 at-bats. It was as short as 8 because he was mowing me down. Three ground outs, 5 strikeouts. He pitched great. He was filling up the zone with a lot of strikes. Umpire was fair. I mean, you know, a couple of pitches could have gone a different way, but not in a way that would have substantially changed the outing. Umpire was fair. Crowd was amazing. I appreciate so many people being out there. I think we were all struck by how many people were there. That was very, very gratifying. And Fritz did great, and congrats to him. We obviously have a 1-1 competition now. I am surprised by two things yesterday. Well, three, crowd being that big. Fritz throwing that many strikes and me not hitting better. I thought I would do better. I didn't. I feel bad about it. I feel bad I didn't give you a better show. I'm sorry about that. I got to eat it. I got to own it.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall. Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
And I got to move on and be better with the next competition. And I intend to be. But look, this is Jack Fritz's day because yesterday was Jack Fritz's day. Congrats to him.
I do not like Humble Joe at all.
There's nothing else to do here.
I understand that.
Just got whooped yesterday.
It would sound ridiculous doing anything else. There's today.
Okay.
And then there's tomorrow.
Well, thank God.
Okay.
Just saying.
Because listen.
You would sound ridiculous.
Listen, you guys know I said from the outset, and James, you know I said, this goes back 2 months ago.
2-2 for basketball.
2-2 for basketball. And I also said, I'm a legit underdog in golf and baseball, but I need to steal one, win tennis, and a 2-2 win basketball. I am dead on track for that.
I will say I am back to thinking Jack's going to win it all.
You think whatever you want.
I'm just, you know.
You are a flip-flopper.
Yeah. Well, I told Joe he had to take baseball. I think Joe will win tennis. I think Jack is the all-time lock to win sprinting. I think that of the three competitions, like don't even do it. Like, he's going to murder you in sprinting. And I think you're going to lose basketball. I think that's what it's going to come down to.
Okay.
But I do think you're right. It's going to be 2-2, which I didn't see coming.
Let me ask you, on your handicapping, what makes you think Jack is going to win basketball handily?
Because he is bigger, younger, and stronger.
Yeah.
All right.
You know what he's not, James?
He can play basketball, James, too. It's not like he's never played basketball.
James, you know what he's not?
Yeah, but he didn't play basketball on a collegiate level.
He's not.
This guy played past sixth grade, Jody.
What he's
Jody.
Not, what he's
past
not.
Past sixth grade was when he stopped playing basketball.
What when
he's
did
not,
Jack stop playing
that's
basketball?
That's not accurate, James. What he's not in basketball is better. Let's go to the phones.
We'll see.
215-5.
I would bet on him.
592-9494. But congrats to him on yesterday. He did a great job. By the way, there was a lot of stuff going on. Spike was trying to mess with me a little bit. Now, I only know this because I heard their show yesterday. Let's listen to Spike yesterday. As, you know, there was a lot going on out there, and here's one of the many things that was part of the drama.
So at bat number two, and at this point I'm already yelling at the camera. I'm yelling, he doesn't want to swing. He doesn't want to swing. I'm trying to get into the camera's head. Be a real jerk on the sidelines. Real good team player.
It was hard to tell, honestly. There's a lot of chatter.
A lot of people, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of chatter.
I heard you, though.
I can honestly say I did not hear him. Because, Jody, if you got that many people, sometimes you can't hear one.
I didn't hear him either, and I was buying home plate. Where was Spike at that time? Second batter.
No, it was like the dugout. He was around the dugout. Yeah, I heard him.
There was only one time I heard Spike, and I was looking for the umpire to give a ruling toward him to explain to him. So I took a timeout at one point. I was allowed one timeout per at bat.
And Spike was freaking out. He's like, what's going on here?
There was a second one in which Spike was freaking out. It wasn't what you'd call a classic timeout. I was getting ready to hit. And the catcher was too far up, and my bat hit the glove of the catcher. So I turn to the ump and like, hold on a second here, you know. And the ump's like, hey, step out for a second, readjust, let the catcher move back. Spike thought I was trying to break the rules with a second step out, which was not my. So then James, to your point, Spike's then freaking out, and I'm telling the ump, yo, ump, tell that clown over there, this isn't on me. Catcher's got his glove too close. All right. Set the record straight.
Now, I didn't even realize that.
Yeah.
If Joe had swung and he hit the catcher's glove, that's catcher's interference.
I know, but I also...
Would that have been a reach base safely?
Well, it could have been, but I don't want to break the wrist of a high school kid.
Oh, okay.
So I'm good guy. I'm good guy.
Look
hammer.
At you.
You're good guy hammer. Good guy hammer. Then again, I was trying to get on base any way possible, but it just didn't
though
work out.
You weren't willing to take one in the ribs. No, I mean, let's be honest. Get out of the way. You know, you
the,
said
the
any
one,
way
the one
possible.
Was close.
You
did a,
had a
did
chance
nice job
to
get out
take
of the
it
way.
In the ribs. It would have been a terrible. Clear hit batsman. There would have been no issue, and you got out of the
any,
way.
Anywhere but the head and the ribs. Seltzer, give me something else in the Eagles you're excited for. We got 12 days to training camp. Talk to me.
Something else on the Eagles, you said?
Yeah, what else are you excited for?
What else am I excited for the Eagles? I'm excited to see how they handle the Super Bowl thing because we've
are
only
Are you
had...
more excited or intrigued?
I'm excited because we've seen two times and it hasn't gone well either time. I think this group's ready for it. They have had the unique experience compared to the last group where they actually went to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They know what it takes to play into February. They have to turn it back around. I'm excited to see how they handle it, how they go about the business, because I do think they're going to handle it much, much better.
All right, Jody Mac, trivia question for you. Because we got a lot of trivia tomorrow at 7:45 with Beat the Hammer, but I got a trivia question for you right now. Prior to a couple months ago, the Eagles had reached the Super Bowl four times before. How many playoff games did they win the years after advancing to the Super Bowl? The 1 year after, 4 years combined, how many playoff games did they win?
Off the top of my head, I'm trying to add it up, and I'm coming up with a zero.
It's one.
2018, they won the one playoff game with Foles and the Bears. 80 Eagles came back, 81 lost to an LT rookie. 04 Eagles got smoked that season. A lot of injuries in 05, the T.O. fiasco, they go 6-10.
Right.
2017 Eagles go 9-7. After, you know, in 2018. They go 9-7, but they do win that one playoff game with Foles. And 22 Eagles leading into 23, you know, they get smoked by Tampa Bay. So three of the four made the playoffs. Only one of them even won one game. My point is, don't just assume because they were the best last year that, you know, they just cruise right on back through it. It don't work that way.
But I will say this, because maybe it was over-optimism on my part.
Yep.
After the Eagles went to the Super Bowl and lost to Kansas City, everyone the next year was saying, you just can't. The losers of the Super Bowl never do anything the year after. And I really didn't believe that. I thought they were going to be okay. I wasn't guaranteeing they were going back to the bowl. But I said, no, that's happenstance. That happened. It was right. Yeah, they went to Tampa, got their rear end kicked. Now, the way that it happened, nobody saw it coming.
The collapse, yeah.
And that's part of what made last year such a redemption story, which I think has almost been forgotten. But for both Sirianni and Hurts and the whole team at large, with the way 23 ended, I mean, like, last year was an all-time redemption situation because of 23. I mean, 23 was the king of the freaking 64 Phils.
Yeah.
It'd be like if the 65 Phils came back and won the World Series and were one of the great teams ever. It was
unbelievable. El Faldo.
Which, of course, did not happen with the 65 Phils. All right, Fritz was dominant. He was the 10-1 Eagles. He was the Super Bowl champion Eagles. He was not the El Faldo Eagles. Fritz delivered yesterday. Let's go to the phones on all these issues, including the Phils, Bryce Lizotto. A lot going on here. Patrick in Tabernacle right now. Good morning, Patrick.
Morning, everybody. How we doing?
Patrick, good seeing you yesterday, man. Thanks for being there.
Yeah, listen, it was nuts, man. It got so crowded there. No part, you know, but I was there in spirit. And the guys were totally going nuts doing the roof job on the school, man. They were into it. It was funny.
It reminded me of Wrigley and that left field thing beyond Wrigley over Waverly Avenue. I mean, for those that don't know what we're talking about.
The rooftop seats.
Yeah, there was.
Best seats ever.
I haven't been there, but I'd love to.
You would love it, Joe.
There was a group on a roof yesterday, like on a roof watching our competition.
That's
pretty
funny.
That made me feel good, Patrick.
Yeah, hey, a quick question for the Hammer. How about what Hall of Famer? Grandson pitched for the Giants last night.
What?
I know who he's talking about.
Famers.
Yeah, my favorite player.
Who is it?
Kvasa Kid, Joe.
Ninth inning.
The game was 37-0 at that point, right?
Yeah.
I just want to make
ninth
sure.
Ninth inning, so it wasn't a pitcher. Hall of Famer, grandson.
Yes.
He's not a pitcher, though.
Pitched the ninth.
He pitched the ninth.
There
you go. So listen, this competition, you know, first of all, I got Eagles real quick. I'm super excited to see how they respond to winning the Super Bowl, obvious. And Seltzer, I think, said it. I want to see what kind of ammo Hurts is, bringing to the season this year.
Going to be fascinating.
I think he's locked and loaded, to be honest with you. So that's how I'm going to watch that. But this competition, Joe, and everybody, man, I'm so into it. And
you know, I'm thinking, that's what you even told Seltzer, like, I feel like such a loser for being so into this. But I guess when you listen to sports radio and do sports your whole life, you might be classified as competitive. But, Joe, I think you have this. I think you're exactly where you thought you would be. Not where you needed, you know, listen, you got one out of the first two.
No, I'm where I thought I'd be. I thought I'd be one out of two in the first two. So I am where I thought I'd be.
And listen, you just got to take it to him. And you got your little mind tricks and you're hunting for bear and he's not. You know what I mean?
I think he is too. We got to give him a lot of credit. He answered the bell yesterday. He had a bit of a sore arm. He expressed it on the show yesterday. He felt even sore in the pen. You know, warming up, but he answered the bell and he threw. Listen, Patrick, I was shocked by how many strikes he threw. And I think he de-throttled, if I had to guess, he could answer this. I don't know if he addressed it yesterday. I would guess he de-throttled about 5 to 10 miles an hour. I think he threw a lot of pitches that were probably 70 to 75, maybe even some high 60s, because I think he was trying to prioritize throwing strikes, which is smart. And it worked. And I didn't do a good enough job hitting the ball. I mean, it's bottom line. So well, look, listen, all this, credit
this,
to him.
This is his game, though. I mean, listen, he did. You know, he obviously pitched well.
Yeah, he pitched well.
But he's a mental. You know, he just mentally he's not there. And I need you to kick his ass more for another reason too. Is shut Spike Eskin up. Again, I said it yesterday. I'll say it again, man. He's on my nerve. And listen, nothing personal. But in this competitive environment, man, he's a guy I just want to go to all day.
All right.
Long.
Well, you yap at him if I win this thing. We'll see. Who? Give me an answer, my man, for tickets to tonight's concert. Who or what is silly but fun?
Oh, you know what? How about a wave when you're at the ball game?
The wave is a good answer. Unless,
is it fun?
Unless you don't like it.
No. Is it fun?
No. It's fun
it
for some.
Not fun.
Yeah, not a fan.
Kids love it.
That's just foolish.
Kids do like it, you're right, but I, as an adult, do not.
It's fun for some. It's not fun for others.
It doesn't offend me like it does others.
No, I get it.
Jack, offended.
Jack yesterday really answered the bell. We got to give him credit for the way he performed. Let's listen to something that went down on their show yesterday.
And I walked over to Fritz, and I was like, "You got this?" And he looked me dead in the eye, and he said, "I'm good."
I mean, he was. And by the way, Jack talked about how his confidence grew pretty early in this competition yesterday. Let's listen to Fritz.
So how did you didn't throw anything but a fastball?
No.
So how did you feel after that first at bat? You strike him out on four pitches. How are you feeling at that point, Jack?
I knew it was going to be a long day for Joe DeCamera.
There you go.
I could tell even in the bullpen, like, it was fine. The first couple of warm-up pitches were like, you know, and then I threw the last couple, and it got to the right spot. And then after that first at bat, I was like, this feels pretty good.
I felt
the same way, for what it's worth watching.
What?
I two at bats in, I thought you were going to lose. I text Elliot Short Parks in Europe right now, asked me to text some updates, and he texted me what's going on, and I said, Jack got the first two at bats, Jack's going to win, is what I said. Yeah. I thought he just had you.
Well, so I didn't feel that to that extent, but I knew that I had some trouble because he was throwing strikes. I mean, that was a basic reality, and I wasn't doing a good enough job hitting it. I mean, it was, you know, three ground outs to the third baseman and five strikeouts. Not good enough. I really wasn't trying to muck with him with stuff, but people accuse me of that type of thing, gamesmanship and the sort. Let's listen to something Spike, Ike, and Jack were talking about yesterday.
We didn't come up with a rule with this, but I was yelling it out. In between at-bats, DeCamera is conferring with his coach.
I know. What should have counted as a timeout?
Well, I was yelling.
He took the one time where he walked almost up the third baseline
to
stall, and then came back and talked to the coach, and then got back in the box.
And that's where I thought the grounders hurt him, because he had a run, at a tire amount. Him going to the coach was outrageous. And then I saw DeCamera yelling at me, pointing at me, because I was yelling about the coach.
Yeah.
Look, if
but
we
it was
only
much... It was much harder for him to pull his tactics today.
Yes, it was.
It was harder for him.
Well, and
couldn't do it.
You lost the golf, but what gets lost in the golf is DeCamera was playing mind games during the golf. He was,
there was
seven practice swings, squatting. You know, like he was being, he was being DeCamera during the golf.
All right, let me just address this about the end of an at-bat. So, Jody,
and then I have a question, too, for you.
So, Jody, when an at-bat would end yesterday, I can honestly say after the first at-bat, I'm being honest, I didn't know what to do. Am I supposed to just stand there for, like, all right, at-bat two, or do you leave the batter's box Because, like, normally when an at-bat begins, a guy walks...
You have to step out of the box.
Agree, totally.
Guy walks from the on-deck circle to the batter's box. Yeah. So my thought was, I will leave the batter's box, I will go to the on-deck circle, I will reemerge back to the batter's box.
Yeah, I don't know that you needed to go to the on-deck circle.
Maybe a little much.
You definitely needed to step out of the box.
Agree.
Step out of the box, you take a practice swing or two, you take a deep breath, you get back in the box and you dig in.
I mean, the fact that my coach happened to be over there, it was a nice little added potential bonus.
So I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Because your coach was awesome.
Yeah,
you could tell. Like, he was locked, he was great.
Yeah.
Do you think you were overthinking it a bit much?
No.
Because it felt like you were, like, for, you know, on the stance.
Not at all.
Okay, just checking.
Not at all. If anything, I needed to get my mechanics down more. And it's just not been routine enough for me to be in a rhythm. So I was trying to think it. And the problem was...
I was worried you were thinking too much.
No, I wasn't. My mechanics weren't good. The reason I was hitting those balls to the third baseman the way I was over-lunging. And it wasn't... I wasn't naturally... I needed to honestly think more. I mean, I was trying to think my best, but I just wasn't in a good hitting rhythm, and that was a bummer. But look, I enjoyed it. I mean, I was obviously very disappointed to lose. I was much more disappointed to not give the audience a better show. But Jack did great. He really did. Let's go to Coach Harris in Havertown. Coach Harris, good morning.
Good morning, Joe. It was great meeting you yesterday.
A lot of fun, man. I was glad you were there. That was good stuff, man.
It was great, and I don't want you to be embarrassed. You did all you could do. You got your bat on the ball against the college pitcher in front of the crowd. I think it took a lot of guts. You did all you could do.
I'm going to retort on one thing, and this isn't to sound like a sore loser at all. I didn't do all that I can do, but I did what I did, and I lost fair and square. So I lost. I got to own it. I could have done better. I didn't do better.
I think that Fritz did what he had to do. He threw strikes early. He set
Fritz
the
did great.
He wasn't rattled. Joe, I think it's more that Fritz did great. Honestly, I think you're not giving yourself enough credit. And I think that everyone there appreciated what you did. And I listened to Spike and Ike's show for a little bit. And I can tell you that I thought they're impressed. And I think they're scared. And my point today is I'm a little bit embarrassed for you, Joe, because I'm tired of your lack of support on your team here. You have Seltzer doing your intro, who flip-flops again. And as annoying as I find Spike, he's all in on Fritz. Ike is all in on Fritz. Picked him up when he melted down. And every great individual player in sports has a team around them. And your supporting cast, I think, really needs
all right,
to
so wake we're up kinda, here,
I haven't flip-flopped any point, Coach Harris. I've been firmly in the middle the entire time.
All right, so here's what I'd say. Obviously, Rhea and MacMan are all in on me. Not to say necessarily they think I will win, but they're all supportive of me. I appreciate it.
I believe you would win yesterday.
Yeah, no, I know. But Coach Harris, listen, what you're saying, you got to take to tomorrow with Devin here and Monday when Richie's back.
Yep.
And just ask them directly, who are they rooting for? I mean, I can't make them root. They get to root for whoever they want to root for. So take it to them.
Look, listen. Look at the support that Fritz is getting.
It's every day. Would I appreciate John Richie indicating that he's truly rooting for me? Yes, I would. That's up to him.
I'm embarrassed for you. I really am. You guys are a team. You have a team behind you. And I got to tell you, I mean, even when you're on a team, you know, if you're in a job and you don't like, you know, you don't necessarily love your coworkers, you still got to back your coworkers. And I'm embarrassed for you. I will say this
in John and Devin's defense. I do kind of play it up and beat the hammer. So I think they have a natural tendency to be rebuffed by that approach, which I can understand, but, you know, I'm also...
so different.
And Coach Harris, I do a podcast with Jack Fritz. I got multiple teammates here, buddy.
All right, my man, give me an answer. Like this competition, what is silly but fun?
The Tooth Fairy.
The Tooth Fairy.
Yes. Oh. Yeah, sure.
Interesting answer right there. All right, let's get to something else that happened on yesterday's afternoon show, because while I maybe have not gotten...
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall! Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes?
check out MLB.com's morning lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Proper support from this show. There was quite a number of people out there specifically to root me on yesterday, which I appreciated. Many others rooting Jack on, many others just kind of fans of the station there to see the absurdity of it all. And Spike acknowledged one of those realities.
Not only was there a crowd, there was a contingent of DeCamera lovers.
There was. A shocking amount.
One of them brought his own speaker. And he, with a mic and a speaker, and I think he was planning on a little hijinks out there from the crowd.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Shout out to Corey.
I will say this. So I got there at about 11:30 because I, you know, my plan was drive over to the area, get food, go to the bathroom at McDonald's, which is, you know, a go-to, and then get there to see Jack warm up.
That was the plan.
That was literally the plan.
To McDonald's.
No, this case, it wasn't McDonald's for the food. It was somewhere else for the food, McDonald's for the bathroom. You know, you go in, take the right-hand turn, bang, right in the stall.
That's just wrong.
It's just what it is. I was thinking yesterday, how many billions, or millions, but probably billions, has McDonald's made? They didn't get a buck out of me yesterday, but think how much money they've probably made through the years where people stop to go to the bathroom, like, you know what, I'm here, I'll grab Big Mac. I mean, I'm sure it's, I mean, I've done it myself. Anyway, so I got there about 11:30. Want to see?
I don't think people use the McDonald's bathroom as religiously as you do.
I think you underrate, James. Those that know, know. You're always within, I mean, unless you're in the boondocks, you're always within 10 to 12 minutes of McDonald's. It's the one thing that you can always go to. All you got to do is put in your phone, McDonald's, and there's always one within 10 minutes. I'm telling you.
I guess it's an IBS thing. I never am like, I need to be 10 minutes from a bathroom.
James,
it's very
okay, let me put
me.
It this way. Those that need to know.
There you go.
Know, okay?
That's better.
Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Great job by Fritz yesterday. Great job by Bryce Harper yesterday. And obviously, Lizardo as well, all of whom did fantastic.
Can't believe we're doing Bryce Harper, Jesus Lizardo, and Jack Fritz as the trio of great days yesterday. Who saw that coming?
He deserves it. He did it. Let's go to Mike right now. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, Joe. Joe, guess what? This is me. This is a golf clap for Fritz, okay? Golf clap. Big deal. I mean, he's not for anything. You know, look, let's be honest. He faced Ogilvy from the Bad News Bears yesterday, okay? It's not, you know, he didn't face Wade Boggs. So, and, you know, even though we were
I'm pretty sure Ogilvy walked in that big spot that he was up in.
He got hit by a pitch. And, Mike, I'm a little disappointed by the comparison. I'm a little disappointed.
Ogilvy was man enough to take one on the hip. That's all I know.
Yeah. I never thought about the Ogilvy to camera comparisons, though. I could see that, you know?
This is kind of hurting me a little bit.
But anyway, Joe, it's tied up. You pushed on the first two. You're still in the driver's seat here, buddy. All right?
I stole home court advantage, which is what you want to do, you know, when the other guys got home court as the favorite. So I got one of the first two, and I've told you the whole time. I had to steal one of the first two. I did. Win tennis, win basketball, and that's it. I mean, that's
steady as she goes.
And, Mike, it's exactly what I intend to do. I mean, I'm just being straight up with you. Like, I'll give all credit to Fritz today. He deserves it. And I'll always give credit to him on the baseball. But I said from the beginning a few things. One, I'm a better athlete. I believe it. Two, steal one of the first two, win tennis, win basketball, be crowned champ. We're on track.
Yep, we are on track. Steady as she goes. All right, so listen, the birds. Now that we're getting close, I start gravitating to the phone a little bit more because this is that lovely time of the year. And you know what, man? Look, there's so many compelling things to think about for this team and how they're going to respond and Jalen. You know what? I got to say, I can't stop thinking about, like, what's Saquon's season going to be? Because, listen, I'll go to the day I die feeling that he was a little robbed down the stretch, that he should have gone for the record. They should have let him go for the record. But I really think that they should lean on him again. The guy should be getting 1,800 yards minimum on the ground next year. So I'm really interested in seeing how Saquon does back-to-back.
Look, Mike, it's going to be fascinating to see their approach. I don't know. I tend to think they should dial him back, and I tend to think they will. But
I agree.
I'll say this. I thought they were going to dial him back as last year went along, and they never did. I mean, other than when obviously they didn't play in week 18 and pulled him out of week 17 when he got to the 2,000 yards. So There's a case Sirianni just says, let's go all in on leaning on him again as often as possible. And they may not care about Saquon. And I'm not saying this in a disrespectful way. They may not care about Saquon 3 years from now, next year. You know,
Saquon might not care about Saquon three years from now.
No, Jody, you're right about that, because he was so hamstrung in New York. He may just say, you know, balls to the wall
I'm just referring to the comment that he made this offseason. You know, I might just quit at some point and walk away. So who the hell knows if he meant what he said? I thought it was kind of tongue-in-cheek. Some people took it very seriously. Yeah. We don't really know, but if he doesn't care about 3 years from now, why should Sirianni in deciding how much he's going to get the football?
It's something to consider.
And then one last point with the Saquon, like, if let's just say he goes back to back similar seasons, right? Now, you know what? He's bona fide Hall of Famer, because right now he's like he got himself back to the.
No, he needs more. He needs more than one. If he goes 2,000 yards again, he's in the conversation, but I think he needs more. I think you're underestimating, Mike, how much those 6 years in New York hurt him.
He missed a ton of time.
He didn't have that many 1,000-yard seasons. He's kind of trying to come out of a hole, honestly. And we know he's got the talent, but I'm telling you, he needs to do more than just one more superb year. He does.
Which is why I want another 2,000 yards this year, buddy.
You could get it. Mike, give me an answer. What is silly but fun?
So I got to give credit to Rhea for this one, to give me this idea, because It's Raining Men, Rhea, is the favorite song for my daughter and I when we go sing karaoke.
Dude, karaoke is a great answer.
Karaoke is a really good answer.
That is an awesome answer.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's a big
Emily
answer.
Emily and I have been talking about getting a karaoke machine just at home. That was Zoe. It's just like a, you know,
she would lose her mind with excitement.
Karaoke is amazing. Yeah, potential winning answer for silly but fun. All this, of course, in honor of the absurdity of the silly but fun competition we've been having here this summer with me and Fritz. All right, so let me give you, Jody, I'm going to give you silly but fun by way of two confident athletes. One, Jack Fritz. The other, Bryce Harper. Let's play the audio. Silly but fun.
God.
Two victorious athletes yesterday. Let's play
this
the audio.
This really is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
I love it.
The audio back to back. Let's start with that Fritzy guy. He knew he was dealing.
I got to be honest. I started throwing again, and I was like, I got it. Like, I've done this a million times. So, like, it didn't matter.
Just
like,
say you were locked in.
I was locked in.
Give a damn who was
it
there.
It didn't matter.
That's what I want to hear.
It didn't matter.
That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
So it felt like he was in a zone.
No, he was.
He told me on the pod, we did a pod last night, and he said, because I was talking about how amazing how many people showed up.
Yep.
And he's like, honestly, I swear to you, he's like, when I was on the mound, I didn't hear any of them, is what he said. I was like, wow, you were locked in,
that's
man.
Good. No, it showed the way he pitched. So that's Fritz confident. Let me play a piece of audio from Bryce Harper. This is post game. I will tell you this. Matter of fact, let's listen first to Bryce's big day. Because Bryce had a really big day, and let's listen to the sequence of his four big hits.
Harper swings, drills it, deep left field. Going back is Ramos. He looks up, and it's gone! And Bryce Harper with an opposite field laser to left off Verlander. It's his 10th home run of the season, his first since his return from the injured list.
1-0, and a swing and a line drive left center field. That's going to be up the gap and go all the way to the wall. And Harper's around first, on his way to second, cruising in with a double. Beck delivers, and Harper swinging a drive, center field and deep. Lee back into his right. He looks up at the wall, and it's off the fence. And Harper is headed for second. He'll be there with another double. And that was oh so close to his second homer of the day. And the 3-2 again. Swung on, line to left center field. On the run, Ramos. This ball is going to bang off the wall as well. And Harper is into second again with his second double of the inning. His third of the day, and it's his first four-hit game this season.
All right, so big
time. Real quick, were you as shocked as I was to find out that was his first career four extra base hit game?
Not shocked, because that's a lot.
But 14 years into his career for Bryce Harper, I was shocked personally.
I mean, two homers and two doubles can get you there. A homer,
that's what
and three.
I mean.
No.
I'm just shocked he hasn't.
Nope. I was surprised.
I'm not. That's a tough standard, man. I mean, four extra base hits is rare. Anyway, so it was great to see him do it. I will tell you this: this audio we're about to play encouraged me more for Bryce Harper's second half of the season than what we saw in those four hits. The four hits were great. Jody, the fact that he was going opposite field is often a very good sign for a baseball player. Very good sign. You know, it shows something about the approach when you go the other way. And he was banging those balls off the left center field wall and over the left center field wall. Seeing him do it was great and encouraging. I'm telling you, what you're about to hear, in my opinion, was more encouraging. Because while we played confident Fritz audio, listen to confident Bryce audio and what this could represent for a guy that we know when right, when healthy, certainly can play like an MVP, and you can tell he still thinks it's there.
I'm really good. I mean, I really am. I don't want to, you know, put that out there and everybody go, what's he talking about? But I know when I'm going well, and I'm one of the best in baseball. And, you know, like I said, I'm healthy, I'm strong, I feel great. It's just putting myself into plus counts. I haven't done that. I mean, you guys have seen that, and I haven't done that. So, I feel stronger than ever. I feel like I've, you know, today I think that was being able to kind of go oppo and do those things. Anywhere else, I might have three homers, right? You know, so it's like those are things you think about. And I hate talking about individual and all that kind of stuff, but you guys know that. But today, like, it kind of just, if I get into good counts and don't swing it crap away or in or anything else, then, you know, I'll be right where I need to be.
So, Jody, we've heard a lot from athletes through the years. Bravado. Sometimes we sense it's false bravado. Like, for instance, Ben Simmons putting out a video of him shooting jump shots felt like false bravado.
No kidding.
Right? It's spliced and diced, and it was never 10 straight jump shots without editing. His videos were false bravado. We also know when we sense that the bravado is born out of true belief in himself or herself, real confidence. That's how I interpret it, what Bryce said yesterday. Do you get that?
As do I.
Same impression?
Yes.
Like, I thought that, like, again, the four hits were great, and the way he did it, you know, opposite field was awesome, but hearing him say that afterwards yesterday, that encouraged me, honestly, more. Because I don't think he would say that and say it the way he did if he didn't believe it.
The reason why I'm with you on this is Bryce is a straight shooter.
He is a straight shooter.
Some guys aren't. And you know the ones who are, and you know the ones who aren't. There are some that you kind of try to get a read on, and you never do. Bryce is an easy read. I could beat Bryce at poker. I can read his face. I can read what he says. He meant what he said,
and he doesn't pump himself up. To his credit, he said, like, you can tell, he's like, I'm sort of saying something nice about myself, but I don't really want to. It's not my style to, because I agree. Well, he's been here, what, 7 years? We don't have this long track record of him making braggadocious, is that the word? Braggadocious,
yes,
comments?
Very well done.
Like, that's not his style. And so for him to go there and say it with the conviction that he said it, that tells me he feels it. And that tells me, as a Phillies fan, he can still get grooved in a big-time way. Look,
he also said that his wrist feels great. That was the other thing, too. He said that the struggles that he's had were just timing and issues, that his wrist is not bothering him at all. I thought that was huge.
Huge. Huge. So I thought that was good stuff. All right, more of the audio of me and Fritz. We'll get to that and Spike and Ike and things that they said on their show. There's a lot to digest from yesterday's show. 215-592-9494.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall! Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's morning lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.